You worship team, great ministry this morning. Well, how are y'all? Do you remember last Sunday I said welcome to summer, and we had an awesome week, didn't we? It wasn't even chilly. Welcome, still summer. It's warmer out now than it was this week, so that's the weather report. That's enough of that. We have been walking through a series on self, and we've been dealing with ourself, and now we're moving into a series on prayer, because when you walk and deal with yourself, you move into talking with God. You can't talk with God, not deal with yourself. So we're moving into a discussion on prayer for this month. This father had been teaching his 3-year-old daughter, Caitlin, the Lord's Prayer. And over the course of several evenings at bedtime, Caitlin would repeat after her dad the lines from the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. And finally she decided one night, she said, "You know, Dad, I just want to do this on my own. It's my turn. You just don't say anything. Let me do it, Dad." You know, that determination that some of us may have had when we were children. And her pop listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each and every word, right up to the end of the prayer. She got everything correct. And then she got to this point: "Lead us not into temptation," Caitlin prayed. "Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." Amen. All of us have needs for prayer. All of us do. And one of the greatest assets of our life is to have somebody we know who loves us, somebody who's concerned about us, pray for us. I got to tell you, there are many prayers in the Bible. I was walking through preparing for today. There's so many prayers in the Bible. God wants our prayers to be specific. He wants them to be prayed in faith. He wants us to have assurance that when we talk to him, we can expect God to intervene in what we're praying for. In fact, the disciples, they walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they spent time with Jesus, and yet they said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." We all want that. We want to pray. There are patterns in the Bible, many prayers of how we can pray. But I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and as you are turning there, I want to just give you a little bit of a background of what's happening here. The Apostle Paul has spent 3 years of his ministry in Ephesus. And during that time, a man by the name of Epaphras was converted, and he went back to Colossae, and he began to share what the Lord had done in his life. And so now Paul, having heard how God is working in their lives, is praying this prayer on their behalf. And I'm just going to read it to you from Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 9. Colossians 1, I'm going to read it to you. And then we'll get into our teaching. Colossians 1, verse 9. "For this reason," see, speaking of what he says in those paragraphs prior, of their love and their devotion, "for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." May God add his blessing to his word. This is an awesome prayer. This is a prayer that can make a difference in every person's life. This is a prayer that can make a difference not only in your life, But in the life of someone else that you pray for. That's how I want you to look at this today. You can pray with power. The power of God. You can. This prayer can penetrate a heart. It can penetrate a person's whole being. It can penetrate all their plans, all their decisions. Listen, it can penetrate every facet of life. Because every single request in this prayer is the very clear will of God. As we look at this prayer, think about it for yourself, think about it for your friend, think about it for your family, for your children, for your spouse, for your grandchildren. If you pray this prayer, something will transpire. So I want to look at these requests that are made here. Praying with power means constantly praying the will of God. It means constantly praying the will of God. I mean, to know the will of God for your life is one of the most precious things, precious requests that you can make to God. If you look, I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Version, verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special request for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and in understanding and the discernment of spiritual things. Wow. Now you know why it's called the Amplified Bible. That's one verse. Praying for someone, even yourself, to have the full, deep, clear knowledge of God's will. That's powerful. And when Paul uses the word knowledge, it doesn't mean just a thought. It means experience. I want somebody to pray that I will experience the will of God in my life. You want somebody to pray that for you. That you would experience the will of God in your life. That you would understand the plan of God for your life. That you'll understand the purpose that God has for your life. I mean, how can you and I walk in obedience to God if we don't know the will of God in our life? How can we make right decisions, wise decisions, if we don't know the will of God in our for the plan He has for our life? You pray, God, show me Your will for my life. Your plan for my life, God. That's the greatest. That is the most important, powerful prayer that you can pray. It's the most important idea that you can teach your children early in their life is to pray God's will in their life. That God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Don't waste your life. Invest your life. Find out what God wants to tell you. He'll show you His will for your life. It's an awesome prayer. Now, that's how I want people to pray for me. I mean, when people ask me, how can I pray for you? Let me let you in a little secret. Pray this Colossians passage, verse 9 to 14, and I'll be absolutely tickled to death because I need every single one of these principles in my life every day. I want these every single one of these elements in my life every day, sometimes hourly, sometimes every minute, second. Because I want to know, God, You have a plan for my life. God has a plan for my life. Say that. God has a plan for my life. Okay, say it excited now. God has a plan for my life. Okay, you sounded a little bit more excited. The enthusiasm level went a little bit up. Pray for God to give you the fullness of the knowledge of His will. And listen. When you do that, I expect that we will be overflowed with the God moments in your life. I expect that you will just start emailing us. You'll be talking to Pastor Jeremy and myself. You'll be calling the office and saying, guess what happened? God did something. Because you know what? You'll just know what change God's bringing in your life. As you pray for spiritual understanding of His will in your life. It'll happen. You're all going, I don't want to pray that then. You want to know God's will in your life, and you want to understand it. Praying with power means constantly praying the will of God. It also means consistently requesting the character of Christ. Now, if you look at verse 10 here, it says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord." The first part of the prayer, the first portion was to walk, it was the sense of direction, it was the will of God, and this portion of the prayer is for power through a quality life. To walk worthy in the Lord is to walk in a fashion in keeping with who we are. I mean, you and I say, well, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Then if I say that, I'm going to walk in a manner that's worthy in being called a Christian. Mean we never sin? No. Does it mean that we're perfect? No. But it does mean, I notice some of you spouses are going, see, you're not perfect. But it does mean that our sense of direction, that our heart's desire, the character of our life, the quality of our life is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to pray that the qualities found in Jesus Christ will become part of our life. Not that we become perfect, not that we become sinless, but that we become more and more like Christ. I mean, why do we want to walk in a manner worthy of Christ? Why would we want to do that? The passage goes on and it says, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to walk in such a way that those around us will just know that God's done something in our life. What God is doing in our life. I mean, when people meet us, I wonder, when people meet us, really what they think. I mean, do they see in me a character? Whoa. Stop right there. I know what you're thinking. You are a character. But do they see in me, do they see in you a character? Do they see in our quality of life? Do they see in us, in our attitude? Do they see in our conduct, in our behavior, in our actions, those qualities that would just remind them of who Jesus is? Because the world should feel something different when they're around us, shouldn't they? You see, the world knows what it's like to be around itself. But when the world gets around Christians, they can hardly stand it sometimes, because that's when they need to feel the presence of God. That's why we need to walk worthy of our calling. We need to pray for this. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray this for our friend. We need to pray this for our son. We need to pray this for our daughter. We need to pray this for our grandchild. That person who's going through difficulty and hardship, Lord, make known your will for their life. And Lord, show them how to walk in a manner worthy of who you are in their life. God will hear and answer that prayer. And I want to say, you young people, I want to say this. Pray this for your friends in school. Pray it for them. Pray. Commit to praying. That pray for one another that you may walk worthy of Christ. Pray it. Commit that to one another, people of God. Commit that today for your life, for those around you. This prayer will change who you are, and it will change those around you. I pray this for somebody else. It is going to bless me. Because I can't pray this prayer for somebody else without praying it for myself. William McGill said it well when he said, the value of consistent prayer is not that he, that is God, will hear us, but that we will hear him. I want to hear him. You want to hear him? I want to hear him. Pray. Sit before his throne and pray. We need to pray that we will bear fruit, that others will bear fruit. We need to pray that. Ask yourself this question. Just go ahead, be brave some days, and say, God, how many times in any given day do I do something, do I say something that has lasting, eternal value? How many times in a given week, Lord, do I do something but that I betray you in such a way that it has lasting, eternal value? I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about the multitude of ways that you and I, what we can do that has lasting value. Mother who sits and reads her child a Bible story, a father who kneels and prays for his children, person who shares God moments with a coworker, many, many, many ways. Whether you're a homemaker, a businessman, a salesman, or receptionist, or manager, or student, God will use you, and you'll bear fruit if you ask for it. Do you know God's will and purpose and plan for your life? Do you know where you're going, where you're heading, what your sense of direction is? It doesn't matter what age you are. God made you. He created you for a purpose. Don't waste a minute, an hour, a week floating through life. Invest your life and bear fruit. Say, I am going to invest my life. Say it again. Say it again. I learned from Dr. Phil, if you say something three times, you start to do it. Sometimes I think it's 27, but that's all right. Pray for yourself. Pray for someone else. Lord, make their life count. You know, I've never had anyone, I haven't heard one person who has turned me down when I've said, hey, can I tell you what God did for me this week? I haven't, even people who just, they just don't care about God. I mean, I love doing it, especially to atheists or agnostics, you know. They just finished telling me, I'm an agnostic, and I go, hey, can I tell you what God did for me this week? And all the time, they want to hear it. They do. They just, well, yeah, tell me. You know, they don't believe in him, they say, but they want to know. Is that true? People want to know that God is real. They really do. They want to find out, is God real? You tell me about this. I want to hear it from you. They're anxious to find out. When I've said, hey, can I pray for you? Not once have I been turned down. I can't think of one time that somebody said, no, I don't want you praying for me. Every single time they've said, you go ahead. Even an agnostic who doesn't believe in Jesus said that, go ahead. What's it going to hurt? People want to know that God is real, and God is just waiting for you to tell them how real he is. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray. Stop the complaining. Stop the criticizing. Pray. Stop the gossiping. Stop the, I got to change that person. Pray. Start praying the great things that God wants for other people instead of what you want from other people. Amen? Let me tell you, you have got such potential. You've got something to give. I'm praying for us as a people, every one of you. God, raise us up as a godly people whose lives are fruitful, that whose lives will make a difference, that, Lord, we will impact someone every day, somewhere, somehow, that, Lord, you would receive the glory in what we do. See, I love how this passage goes on, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Wow. We want endurance to keep going. We want patience to be able to handle it. And all we need is the glory of God in our life. And I tell you, when we have the glory of God impacting your life, who do you glorify? I'm sorry, did you guys leave? Who do you glorify? You glorify God. Praying with power means constantly praying the will of God. Praying with power means consistently requesting the character of Christ in my life. Praying with power means contemplating with joy God's sufficiency. We don't need any more than this table, really. We really don't. This is the sufficiency of God right at this table. I mean, he came, he lived among us, he died, he rose again. He gave his very life for the redemption of our sins. It says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ came to forgive you and me. That's this table. We don't need any more than this to be contemplating with joy God's sufficiency. But is it not true that a joyous person who has a sense of gratitude is just contagious? You know, when you're surrounded, you know, let's take for instance, you come home from a day at work and your spouse is there and your child has done something heroic, like stepped or burped, you know, one of those things. And you walk in the door and there's your spouse. You won't believe it. Really, you won't believe it. And you're like, well, tell me already. Like, I want to know. He said, Dad. Well, yeah, it was Dad. It was in a burp, but it was Dad. It's bad, you know, it's there. First word. See, excitement. Or you get that job promotion and you can't talk. You're almost crying. You're crying because you know? You ever been around somebody so excited, so joyous, so happy, so contagious? I tell you, there's something about that. A person who is positive, who's grateful. There's something contagious about that kind of a person. Amen? Good. You're excited. But then there's the cynic, the one who's ungrateful. Person that's not joyous. They're unhappy. They don't even know why they're unhappy. Say, how are you doing today? I'm fine. Well, you seem unhappy. I swear. They just are. They don't know why. I have a question. If Christ is all-sufficient, then why would we ever be unhappy? See, joyously giving thanks. How can I do that? Only when I see everything is coming from God. Everything. Even our pain. Even our hurt. Even our struggle. Not just our joys. Everything is coming from God. Woman was at work. She received a phone call that her small daughter was very, very sick. She had a very high temperature, high fever. And so the lady, the mother, left her work. She stopped by the pharmacy in order to get some medication, in order to hopefully get the temperature down. And she walked back to her car and she found, you know, that moment when you realize I've locked my keys in the car. I mean, she was in such a frenzy to look after her daughter that she locked those keys in her car. She didn't know what to do, so she called home and she told the babysitter, this is what happened, I locked my keys in the car, I don't know what to do. Babysitter told her, she said, well, the fever is getting worse. She said, so you better find something, get a coat hanger or something, and use that coat hanger to open the door. Just find something, get that door open and get here. The woman looked around and she found an old, rusty coat hanger been left on the ground, possibly somebody else who sometime locked their keys in the car. And so she looked at the hanger, I got to try and do this. So she was working, and I don't know how to use this thing. I don't know what I can do. So she bowed her head, and she asked God, she said, oh, Lord, just send me help. Send me help. Within five minutes, a beat-up old motorcycle pulled up, a dirty, greasy, bearded man wearing an old biker skull rag on his head. The woman thought, oh, Lord, this is what you sent me? She was desperate, but she was very thankful at the same time. The man got off the motorcycle, and he asked her, he said, well, can I help? She said, yeah. She said, my daughter's very, very sick, and I just stopped here at the pharmacy to get what I needed, some medication to help relieve the temperature, and I locked my keys in the car. I have to get home. I really do. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car? He said, oh, sure, you bet. Walked over to the car. Less than a minute, it was open. Just like that. So she hugged that man, and through tears, she just said, thank you. Thank you so much. She said, you're such a kind, you're such a nice man. And the man said, lady, I'm not a nice man, I'm a kind man. He said, I just got out of prison today. I was in prison for car theft. I've only been out for about an hour. The woman hugged that man again, and sobbing tears, she said, oh, Lord, thank you.
You even sent me a professional. God is so good. God is so good.
Graham Dunert said, many people pray as if God were a big aspirin pill. They come only when they hurt. True. God is not going to send anything in your life, in your way, that he will not enable you to face. He's not going to ask you to do anything that he will not enable you to do. This prayer is an awesome prayer of God's absolute, total sufficiency, and he is the center of this prayer. I have a question. How much of our praying is God-centered? How much of it is problem-centered? How much of it is self-centered? How much is person-centered? Even though some other things are mentioned in this prayer, it's God, God, God. God is the source. And when you and I come to God and we pray this prayer for someone, God is listening. Why? Because God wants to do every single one of these things. Here's the motivation to give thanks in hard times, in trying times. Because you have been, verse 12, qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. You have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. Here's another reason to be joyously thankful, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. God takes us. When God rescues us, when you and I believe in God, we were taken away from Satan's rule and were placed under the realm of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you listen, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the guilt, the penalty of our sins have been put away by Christ. That's this table. It's all been put away by him. I don't believe anybody can pray that prayer without God doing a mighty work in our life or in someone else's life. Unless they resist and resist and resist. And the longer we pray that, the more prideful and arrogant and rebellious a person will become, or they're going to weaken under the loving pressure of God. We need to pray this because I want to know God's will. I want character. I want my life to be fruitful. I want to serve him in his strength. I want to grow closer in my understanding of who he is. I certainly want to joyously thank him for everything. Listen. You can do one of two things. You can listen this morning, go away, and say, well, I heard a sermon. Or you can pray with power. Think about this. There are some people who don't have anybody pray for them. No one. And you know what? There's no such thing as nobody needing someone to pray for them. God will answer this prayer. He will. I'm not going to guarantee that God will change everyone that you pray for, because they can still resist and rebel against God. But I can tell you one thing. Praying for someone else changes me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're sitting there saying, I can't name anybody that I know is praying for me. I wish somebody would. Well, I'm going to pray for you right now. Every one of you. And I want you to believe right now that God is going to begin to work in your heart Especially if you just say, just before him, Lord, I'm going to listen to this prayer and I want you to do this in my life, and I guarantee this. If you open up your heart to him, God will answer this prayer. Just open up your heart. Say, God, my heart is open to you, to this prayer. And I pray for you. Father, we come today to proclaim you, Lord. We come in Jesus' name. I just ask you, Lord, that every single person who's heard this message, every single person, Father, who hears this message, that each of these requests may become a living reality in their life. Lord, that they'll understand your will and the fullness of it. Father, that they will walk in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That they will be able to invest their life, not just spend it, but invest it. That they will grow in their understanding and knowledge of you, that they'll be able to be strengthened by you, and they'll be able to joyously give thanks to you, God, for every aspect of their life. Father, in Jesus' name, make this prayer in Colossians a living reality in every single person's life. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. I'll ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table.